4, Brother Tant Miller brings us a lesson today. I'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Brother Pierce, for the reading, and Brother Miller for the song. Certainly good to be here this morning, and I'd like to thank each and every one of you for once again allowing me the time to come before you and proclaim the Word of God. The sermon this morning is entitled Salvation, and in particular, God's plan of salvation. Now, I believe that by the end of the lesson, we will indeed see that it is God's plan of salvation, and that there is only one plan of salvation. But if we look back at the scripture, as Brother Pierce read a moment ago, but let us who of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. What is salvation? When we look at the word, according to Webster's, salvation is the act of saving or being saved from danger, evil, difficulty, destruction, etc. Rescue. The second definition, a person or things that is a means, cause, or source of perseverance or rescue. So the one who saves or source of our salvation. And the third definition, deliverance from sin and from the penalties of sin, redemption. So salvation from sin. Now turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 6:16. Here I believe God is conversing with the people of Israel and commanding them to repent and achieve salvation. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, whereas the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. This is one of the dramatic passages of the Old Testament. It is the climax of the appeal of the prophet Jeremiah that started in the first verse of the first chapter. It represents the appeal to the nation of Israel concerning their backslidingness. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, whereas the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. This is the spirit of rebellion against God. But as we look at the meaning of this verse, we see some of the steps that we must follow to gain salvation. Stand. Stand in the ways and see. Ask. Ask for the old paths, where is the good way? Stand would mean to stop. Ask would mean to inquire. See would mean to look. Stand in the ways and see. That means stop and look. Ask. That means listen. So stop, look, and listen. Walk. That means the action that you take once your choice has been made. But we see the emphasis of this verse is that there is one way that is right. Only one way to be right. And that one way to be right is to walk in the way that is right. There is only one way to be right. There are many ways to be wrong, but only one way to be right. So this is the emphasis that we find in this passage and in this verse. And as we look at that, we see we have the word ways first and the word way second. There's an S on the first word, stand in the ways and see. That means many ways, not talking about a literal road except for an illustration. Stand in the ways and see. So that's when you've come to the forks in the road. Then ask for the good way. There's not any S on that one. Many ways, but just one good one. Many ways, but just one right way. And the responsibility of every person in the interest of his own soul is to ask for the good way, to find it, and to walk in it. If he doesn't ask for it, if he doesn't seek for it, if he doesn't inquire for it, then he becomes the enemy of his own soul, because salvation depends on walking in the right way. And finding the right depends on seeking. We must seek it in order to find it, and just as surely as we seek it, we shall find it. And having found it, then it is our obligation to walk in it, to continue in it. We don't stop at it, and we don't stop when we enter it. We walk on and on in it. This is the procedure of being right. These are the steps that we must follow to reach salvation. Salvation is found 164 times in the Bible. That is the King James Version. But notice some names with me. Isaiah, that means salvation of Jehovah. So when they saw him coming, his name proclaimed God's glory. And the name Jesus, or Joshua, means Jehovah is salvation. So when the very name was uttered, it reminds us of God. Jehovah is salvation. Thus, we realize that it is God who saves. It is God who saves. We read of Noah in Genesis 6 through 8. The New Testament records, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 7. When once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. Whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:20 through 21. We see Lot and his two daughters. God saved Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah. If you turn over to Genesis chapter 19, starting in verse 24, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Skipping down to verse 29, and it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. We see Jacob and his family preserved in Egypt. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Genesis 45 and verse 7. We see God leading the children of Israel out of Egypt in Exodus 1 through 13. I have seen the affliction of my people, which is in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning and am come down to deliver them. Acts 7:34. And they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt, and with an high arm brought he them out of it. Acts 13 and verse 17. He watched over them in the wilderness. Exodus 15 through Deuteronomy. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 5. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 6, 35. And then lastly, we see the remnant of the captivity in Ezra and Nehemiah. All of this was to fulfill a promise to Abraham. And in thy seed shall all nations be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Genesis 22:18. Remember, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. It will bruise thy head, speaking of the devil. It would take away the devil's power to keep man in bondage to sin. Thou shalt bruise his heel, speaking of Jesus. He would die, but he would be raised, and in so doing, he would bruise the devil's head. Which brings us to our first point. Our salvation is in Christ. Our salvation is in Christ. And in thy seed shall all nations be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Genesis 22:18. Paul recorded in Galatians and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Galatians 3:8 and verse 16. Notice with me that there was to be a prophet like unto Moses, and we see that that prophet was to be Christ. We turn over to Acts 3:22 through 23. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Jesus said, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. John 5:46. So what about this prophet? Notice with me that it was God in the flesh. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it will bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of woman would destroy the devil's power. Consider Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and shall call his name Emmanuel. We turn over to Matthew chapter 1. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law. Galatians 4 and verse 4. And the passage that many of us know, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:1-3 in verse 14. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part in the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Hebrews 2:14. God in the flesh. Our salvation is in Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Our salvation is in Christ, and our salvation is through his death. Satan had the power of death spiritually, the power to keep men enslaved in sin. Paul wrote, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, who now worketh in the children of disobedience. Ephesians 2:2. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. 2 Timothy 2:26. God, through Paul, asked in Romans 6:16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? While they promise him liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. 2 Peter 2:19. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, because he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. Our salvation is through Christ's death. He died that we might be free. John said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. And Jesus states, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. John 12:32. For this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Matthew 26:28. And God, through Paul, records, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2:8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would some die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:6-8. And the Hebrew writer wrote, but we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:18-19. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Revelation 1:5. Our salvation is through Christ's death. Next, notice with me the gospel of your salvation. The gospel of your salvation. Paul said, the gospel plan is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. 2 Timothy 1:10. The word gospel means good news and glad tidings. Good news of what? We find the answer in Romans 5:6-8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Turning your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. The gospel is the good news. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Romans 1:16. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory that which I preached unto you. 1 Corinthians 15:2. Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." John 3:16-17. The Bible says God requires obedience to the gospel. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. But I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Romans 10:1-3. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel." Verse 16. So how does one obey? The religious world would say that we are saved, we find Christ, or we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. But what does the Bible say on the matter? We turn over to Romans 6, starting in verse 17 and 18. "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." Romans 6, 17 and 18. We obey a form of doctrine. What is this form of doctrine? Romans 6, 17. Now, Jesus experienced a literal death, burial, and resurrection. We obey a form of doctrine, a form of death, a form of burial, a form of resurrection. Well, preacher, what do you mean? Where Jesus went through a literal death, burial, and resurrection, we go through a form of death. That is repentance. We must die to the love and practice of sin. We go through a form of burial. We are buried in the watery grave of baptism. We go through a form of resurrection. We come up out of the water to walk in newness of life. So as we examine these further, the true thing, Christ died literally. That form of doctrine, one desirous of salvation must die to sin through the repentance. We read in 2 Corinthians 7, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. What is repentance? "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went." Matthew 21:28-29. Paul said, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof." Romans 6:1-2 and 11-12. "For to be carnally minded," fleshly minded, "for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Romans 8:6. "Because the carnal mind," the fleshly mind, "because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." Verses 13. So moving on, the true thing, Christ was buried, literally. One desirous of salvation must be buried through baptism. "Know ye not that so many as of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 6, 3 through 5. The truth in Christ was resurrected. One desirous of salvation must be raised to a new life. The inspired word says in Romans 6, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Romans 6 and verse 4. God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. Romans 3:25. Therefore, if any man be a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The new mind is the mind that is guided by God's word. Turn over to Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 1. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6, 17 and 18. And we read in Acts, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified, that is, in me. Acts 26 and verse 18. The gospel, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. Why must we preach the gospel? In it, we find God's plan of salvation. God's plan of salvation. So now that we understand obedience to the gospel, let us observe the course from sin unto salvation in Christ. We see that there are five steps that we have to follow to reach salvation. But first, why do we need to try to reach salvation? I know that you know the answer to that question, and the answer is because of sin. Sin separates us from God. If you turn over to Isaiah 59, starting in verse 1, God's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. Verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. John tells us what sin is in 1 John 3:4. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. But who is responsible for my sins? Ezekiel tells us, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Ezekiel 18 and verse 20. We strive for salvation because we know all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 and verse 8. So the first step in God's plan to gain salvation from this sin is to hear. Paul wrote in Romans, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Cornelius recognized this. He told Peter, "Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things commanded thee of God." Acts 10:33. And Jesus said in John, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." John 6:44-45. So hear. And if we hear the word with open ears, then this should lead to our belief in Christ. Jesus said, "If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." John 8:24. Paul wrote in Romans, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed?" Romans 10:14. And Jesus proclaimed, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Mark 16:16. The Hebrew writer recorded in the inspired word, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Hebrews 11:6. Diligently seek him. Remember back to the introduction. We must seek him in order to find him, in order to do his will. And this is shown through the next step in God's plan of salvation. Repentance. So after we believe, we must repent. Not just "I'm sorry," but as we say, a change of mind that leads to a change in action. We read in Acts, "At the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." Acts 17:30. Jesus said in Luke, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:3. And the inspired word reveals to us in the letter to the church at Corinth, "For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death." 2 Corinthians 7:10. After repentance, we must confess the Lord Christ. Jesus spoke in Matthew, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Matthew 10:32-33. "For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Romans 10:10. The eunuch, we see, makes a good confession as part of obedience to the gospel in the book of Acts. Chapter 8, we read of the eunuch confessing Jesus. And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Acts 8:37. And as we continue reading in Acts, we see the next step in God's plan of salvation, baptism. Acts 8:38, the very next verse, "And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and he went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Ananias asked Saul, Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. And Peter told the Jews at Pentecost, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Acts 2:38. So the five steps in God's plan are, we first must hear, and this should lead to our belief in Christ, and our repentance, and our confession, and our baptism. Then our past sins are washed away. We are baptized, and we become a new creature. Paul wrote in Romans, "Therefore are we buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Newness. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, old all things are become new." 2 Corinthians 5:17. So we have remission of our past sins. "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. We turn over to 1 Corinthians 6, starting in verse 9. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. As such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. We become a new man. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." 2 Corinthians 5:17. And we also turn over to 1 Peter 1, 13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. So as we proceed, what is the result of obedience to this gospel plan? The result of obedience to this gospel plan. Notice with me that we are a member of a new family. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2:38 and verses 41 and verse 47. What is the result of our obedience? In relation to the church, the Christian is a member. In relation to the kingdom, the Christian is a citizen. In relation to the house of God, the Christian is a child. In relation to the body of Christ, the Christian is a member. Without the gospel and God's plan, the man can be none of these, and he loses his part in eternal life. We see examples of each one of these. A member of the church, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2:41 and 47. We see citizens of the kingdom, Colossians 1:13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We see children of the house of God. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, 1 Corinthians 12:13. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. We read in Romans 8, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 8 and 14. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 16 through 17. We see members of the body of Christ. As we noticed a moment ago, 1 Corinthians 12:13, For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. God through Paul in Colossians 1:18, And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And in Ephesians 1, And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1:22 through 23. Those who obey God's plan of salvation have the hope of eternal life. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, Titus 1 and verse 2. Peter records to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, 1 Peter 1 and verse 4. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, Colossians 1 and verse 5. And Jesus said, Then shall the king say unto them, On his right hand come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Matthew 25:34. The faithful will hear him say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25:21. We recognize that as a child of God, we now have a responsibility to live by his rules. After we are baptized and become a new creature, then it is our responsibility to live faithfully. We read in Romans, But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Romans 6:17-18. The inspired John wrote, But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1, verse 7. However, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." Matthew 7:21. And Jesus proclaimed in Revelation, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Revelation 2 and verse 10. God's plan of salvation. So as we conclude, let me ask one more question. When one obeys God's requirements for salvation, what are you now? Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist? Where do we find these in God's word and plan of salvation? Nowhere. The one who obeys God's requirements for salvation is a Christian, and we do indeed find the Christian in God's plan. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch, Acts 11:26. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian," Acts 26:28. And in 1 Peter 4:16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." Individually, the child of God is a Christian. They were bought with the blood of Christ, 1 Peter 1:19. So Christ's I am. Christ's I am. As we noticed, as a collective in any locality, God's people are known as the Church of Christ, such as Paul at Corinth, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized, Acts 18:8. Then when God through Paul writes to them, how does he address them? "Unto the Church of God, which is at Corinth," 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. "The churches of Christ salute you," Romans 16:16. Not talking about all the denominations of men, they didn't exist. But churches of Christ meant Christians in different places. The church at Corinth, Jerusalem, Antioch, Ephesus, Thessalonica, Christians. The churches of Christ, Christ's I am. So have you obeyed God's requirements for salvation as outlined in His Word? If not, obey the gospel that God may add you to His church. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Acts 2:47. If a man will hear the word of God as taught by Paul, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. And will believe that Jesus is the Christ as taught by John. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name," John 20:30-31. "And if he will forsake his sins, as taught by Christ, I tell you, nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish," Luke 13:3. "Confess the Savior. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven," Matthew 10:32. "And be baptized for the remission of sins, as taught by Peter. Repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins," Acts 2:38. Then, and only then, he comes into fellowship with God. Luke recorded in Acts, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Now therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter answered and said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. You have need of the invitation. The men stand ready to assist you, and we bid you come while we stand and while we sing.
Yes, so sweet to trust in Jesus.